This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Bit of bad Leroy Brown. Remember Jim Croce? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Friday morning, September the 13th. Friday the 13th, Ed, are you superstitious, my friend? You're not going to walk under any ladders this morning.
Absolutely not.
You're not superstitious. Good. You know, I've never noticed a Friday the 13th that's been any worse than any other day. They're all as bad as the... I mean, they never... I've never had an issue where I go, oh, it's because of Friday the 13th, you know?
I know, it's just the name. I think they should move Halloween to Friday the 13th.
I think you're right. But the only problem is, what if there isn't a Friday the 13th in October?
We'll skip it.
Okay. By the way, we're going to be joined in a few minutes by Eileen Heishman, a dear friend. She is an author, and she is also active in the Human Rights Citizens Commission. She's a caseworker there. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. But she is coming out with a book on a boy who totes a gun to school with the idea of using it on his classmates. Kind of scary. So we're going to look into... how society can stop, you know, talking past each other and figure out a way to solve these kinds of mass killings that are going on in our country. And later in the show, we're going to be talking about last night's Democratic presidential debate. Did you watch any of that last night? Well, we'll be speaking with the guy who has his finger on the pulse of the people in the street, Andrew the Master Barber. He will bring his barber pole with him. And we will talk about his feelings on, I guess there were 10 little Indians are left. It started out with about 22 of them, and we're down to 10. And I just keep praying that they lop off a whole bunch more. Maybe we're just down to a couple of them. Ed, what do you think? Did you watch any of that debate last night?
I was going to, but I had to have two root canals, and my sock drawer was a mess. So I had to preempt that.
You would that was a little easier to do.
Yeah, yeah, much better for me.
Yeah. Also, I bet you had one eye on the football game.
Actually, in the third eye was on the Rays game.
You were. That was kind of an exciting.
It was all over the place. I wore out a set of batteries in the remote.
You did. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the football game towards the end of the show, but we also have one other thing we're going to do. We have our great, wonderful. A fantastic ultimate top 10. Now, we do that every show, Eileen. Okay. And by the way, we did on Monday the top 10 states that got the most robocalls. Okay? And I'm talking with Eileen now because she's a dear friend. Do you know what the number one state is that gets the most robocalls?
Well, if my telephone that... highlights those as probably scam. It might be Florida.
I would have thought so. It was Nevada.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Nevada. Now, why do they get more? Is it because of all the gamblers there and people are maybe more willing to take a chance?
Well, the people who'd be getting the calls would be the residents. So, yeah, I don't know what the answer to that one is.
Well, we're going to tell you the states today with the least robocalls. Now that to me is as interesting as those with the most robocalls. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, that debate last night, I was going back and forth. I watched some of the debate, but I'll be very honest with you. I love the James Bond movies, and they had a James Bond movie on Turner Classic Movies. And it was the guy that only played James Bond once. His name was George Lazenby. And he played in, I don't know if Eileen would remember On Her Majesty's Secret Service. That goes way back.
Yeah.
I was a little boy and you were a little girl, but it was back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he played it one time, and Sean Connery played around him. He played James Bond in about mm-hmm. five or six before that one, and then he came back for another one after that one. But so I'm watching the debate, and I'm wondering, are they really getting any fewer or more voters in this debate, or is it not going to make any difference? You know, I'm projecting, because we're going to go into, what, we got another year and 3 months or something like that, about 14 months before the election. I mean, it's way too early, in my opinion, to have a debate. I think if we did the debates in 2020, like February or March, I think people would be a little bit more tuned in. But anyway, so they had the debate, and it was very contentious. There was only 10 guys up there. It took place in Houston. And I'm looking at this one reporter who says that he thought that Joe Biden did the best. He said that this was the first time that Elizabeth Warren and former President Biden shared the debate stage together. And this guy, Doug Schoen, says that at the end of the night, Biden emerged as the winner, and his two closest rivals, who were Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, were the surprise losers. Losers. He says Warren and Biden exhibited stark differences on style, policy, and vision. And the divide was apparent during the debate over health care, where Biden said that the hidden costs associated with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren's plan were the things that would doom the plan. And he's right. He's right. It's going to cost us billions and billions of dollars more to enact Medicare for all. And at least in this particular case, I agree with Joe Biden. And he's more of a guy that says, look, we'll leave an option for health care for those that don't get it in some other form. But let's leave it up to the people to decide what they want. So when Elizabeth Warren was asked about the expense, she deflected the question. She was asked if the middle class taxes will go up to pay for it. Of course they're going to go up. Are you kidding? We don't have enough rich people in this country to pay for everybody else's Medicare or health care. It's crazy. She says total costs would go down. Now, that's a deflection. She didn't say yes. Everybody's taxes are going to go up, even the middle class's taxes. She wouldn't talk about that. So it was one of those kinds of things. And they did not talk about the economy. Not one question.
Well, they wouldn't dare.
They
would have no basis. Socialism, I'm very fervently anti-socialism. And that would do away with the economy. So
correct.
Just
we wouldn't even have.
Yeah.
But at least we still have an economy. We haven't got into the socialism yet, and not one question by the ABC anchors. That's my point. Why don't they ask the question?
Well, they don't want to hear the answer.
You're correct.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of on the Democrat side, generally.
Kind of.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're going to really talk to Eileen on the square here. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Eileen Heisman about mass killings.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? Tune in to the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. That's 1340 AM and 106.1 FM. Right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. We cover it all when it comes to deed-restricted communities. We have the answers to all of your questions and more on the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. And delighted to have Eileen Heishman with us this morning. Eileen, I'm going to be honest with you. Eileen and I used to partner and do our show Freedom Works quite a few years ago, Eileen. It must have been over 10 years ago that we were doing it.
At least.
Yeah.
It was a while
just shows
ago.
You how long we've been doing the show.
Right, and you're still going strong.
Still, well, we're trying to go strong.
Glad to see that you're back at it. That's great.
And we're back at it again. That's right. Eileen is a caseworker at the Citizens Commission on Human Rights here in Clearwater. They do a lot of work in mental health and trying to get people off some of these, I guess, opioids and all these other kinds of drugs. But we're here to talk with Eileen about a book she's in the midst of writing about a young man who totes a gun to school with the idea that he wants to start shooting his classmates. Now, this is horrible. But there's a deeper reason for Eileen's doing this book. And we want to examine what provokes anybody to engage in mass killings and how society, which seems to not be listening to each other, can figure out a way to start listening to each other and come up with some workable solution. So first, Eileen, tell us a little bit about the plot, the premise of the book.
Okay, the premise of the book, which I actually started about 5 years ago, is that every time there is a mass killing, there are basically two points of view that immediately, one before the other, to say we've got the solution. And the most vociferous, the loudest group is the ones that say, oh, the guns do it. Well, a gun is an inanimate object. And
I've never seen a gun walk down the street. That's right.
No. And my personal viewpoint is that the problem is the person behind the finger on the trigger. What is going on with them that causes them to do this? What I see is that these two viewpoints are very loud and very strong, but they never listen to one another, and they never come to a solution. And what my book is going to attempt to do is create a point of agreement where all of a sudden these people are able to communicate with one another and with the world at large. I mean, this is not just a problem in America. This is all over the world. It's not publicized too much, but it's all over. And what I've learned in my old age is that quite often the solution is right before our eyes, and for some reason we're just not seeing it. And the reason we're not seeing it is because we have these fixed ideas one way or the other. And what the plot goes on, this young man had been 12 years old, not a young man, a kid.
Oh, yeah.
12 years old. He had been going through the trauma of being 12 years old. And the solution in today's world is to take him to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist doesn't really have any answers, but he does have some drugs. And the boy started taking these medications, and his parents were not aware that these medications could cause suicidal ideations or homicidal ideations, aggression, etc. And he was feeling those things, and he was expressing that to one of his buddies. And she said, well, you know, find another doctor and let's get off of those drugs. Tell your mom. And then the next thing you know, he's the classroom is studying and everything, and he walks in, and he's very upset and nervous. And the teacher was about to give him a tardy slip, and she just took a good look at him, and he's trembling, he's starting to cry, and he's just obviously in a great state of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And he reaches down into his backpack, and he pulls out a gun, and he very professionally starts to point this gun at a student right in front of him, and then bang, the gun flies out of his hand. And
we're going to leave the people in suspense
a little bit.
But I know where you're going with this, mm-hmm. and I do have a question, because I want to get really to the broader issue and the real reason you're writing the book.
The real reason I'm writing the book is that we're not finding solutions. This keeps happening and happening and happening. And every time it does, all of the people on the opposite sides get on their soapboxes and they yell and scream and holler, but nothing does get done. And I want to see something done about it. I don't want to have people killing other people, and I don't want people being unhappy and miserable and having these kind of ideas that maybe it's a good idea to kill a bunch of people and then myself.
Well, we think about what happened in the Parkland shooting, because mm-hmm. this is kind of a case in point. It had to do with a student coming to class and killing all of the classmates that he did. And I notice that you bring the, because it's a topic you're so interested in, you bring the fact that drugs can affect behavior.
Correct.
And so my question, in these mass, not just shootings, but I guess killings, because you don't have to use a gun to kill a bunch of people.
Correct.
You can take a truck or a car.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a knife, right? Or you could have an explosive. A baseball bat. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage do you think of those kinds of mass killings, the killer has drugs in his system or has been taking?
It's close to 100%.
Is it close to 100?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, from the research, in fact, I brought along a booklet that we can certainly provide to anybody either online, but it's produced by the parent chapter of CCHR, and it's called Psychiatric Drugs Create Violence and Suicide, and it's just full of statistics that have been very, very carefully researched. And
close to 100%. Now, did the kid that was in the Parkland shootings, who, by the way, survived, as you know, they've got him in custody.
Mm-hmm.
Did he have a drug issue?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was getting mental health care kind of off and on. He's sort of a casebook study of what can go wrong, because he came to the attention of the authorities over and over and over again.
He sure did.
But
seven or eight times they were warned about this guy.
Mm-hmm. But nothing was really done except to put him on and off of different drugs and things like that.
I see.
So, but, yeah, he is a prime example of someone that kind of fell through the cracks here. He didn't get the actual help that he needed. And he wasn't separated because of the potential for violence from...
So how do we get all the different, you know, we've got the... And the first thing we think about is guns, even though there are other ways of doing it. But mm-hmm. for the sake of argument, we've got all of the... Not all of them, but in Congress, a lot of the Democrats demanding that we have more gun control legislation right now, and they're not listening to other people that are saying, well, like you said earlier, it isn't the gun, it's the person behind it. It's a behavioral problem. So you got the behavioral problem, let's deal with that, and you got the, well, even if we deal with the behavioral problem, we still have to deal with the gun problem and that how many people have guns. How are we going to resolve, I mean, how are we going to get one the behaviorists to listen to the gun regulators?
That's a good question, and something that is being looked at very closely, you know, how to prevent people with obvious problems from getting a gun. You know, that's pretty obvious, makes sense. The catch is, you know, there's all sorts of issues that come into that because there's a lot of people who may have been labeled as falsely as having a mental problem that are prevented from getting a gun. And that's going on right now. And they do have the right to have a gun because they don't really have a mental problem. But they've gotten into the system inadvertently. In Florida, it's pretty amazing. If I got mad at you for some reason, I could call 911.
Yes.
And I could say, you know, I'm really worried about Paul. He told me the other day that he was thinking of killing himself. And they would immediately send sheriff's deputies to your home, not
You're
any
right.
questions, put you in handcuffs, and take you to a mental institution. For
That is scary.
Yeah, it is. It's real scary. And... then you would never be able to get a gun. Even though as soon as you got there and you talked to the psychiatrist and he says, Paul, you don't belong here, go home.
It's on your
it's
record
still
now.
On your record.
Yes.
And you wouldn't be able to get a gun.
I didn't realize that. That is kind of scary. You know, you could have some vengeful person do that to you, couldn't you?
You sure could. Happens every day.
Wow.
Yeah, every day.
So, and this is the thing. I mean, it's, let's be honest, psychiatry is an inexact science. Mental health is an inexact science.
Yes, it is.
You could be perfectly fine today, and the next day you could be loony.
Yeah.
But, you know, you...
Well, the
what
thing
do we do?
Is,
you know, this is the
yeah,
thing.
Well, that's what I do. And the catch is there's no test. You know, if you think you have a heart problem, there's all kinds of lab tests and... MRIs and whatever it is they do, CAT scans, to see what the problem is, diagnose it correctly, and take the correct action. For a mental disorder, there are no tests. It's just the opinion of the psychiatrist as to
whether... Yeah, and I hate to say this, but I'll bet there are more psychiatrists that have issues with their own mental state.
That's
I think psychiatry
question.
Is one of the top. You talk about suicides
mm-hmm.
and the like. Am I right? That's a psychiatrist. Doctors like that have a high incidence in comparison to other professions.
I understand that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's it could be. I don't have that data in front of me.
I'm pretty sure that psychiatrists are when it comes to lists of professions where there is an issue of suicides mm-hmm. and the like. Psychiatry yeah. ranks, and doctors in general.
Could be.
It's a high-pressure
yeah.
job.
Again, I don't have that.
Yeah, and of course, we're not tainting the psychiatrist with...
Not all psychiatrists are bad.
Oh, of course not.
And not all dogs are bad. But there are some... And just the nature of how it's practiced kind of leads to these kind of problems. But what my book wants to do is find that common ground where people can come together. And sometimes it takes, like we were talking earlier, say you are a, a soldier and you are trained to hate X people. And you're flying missions every day, bombing the living daylights out of this country because you hate these people. And then your plane gets shot down, and instead of getting killed immediately, there's a kind family who belongs to this group that you're supposed to hate, who saves your life, and all of a sudden, your whole viewpoint has changed against, you know, my gosh, these are human beings just like everybody else. And maybe it's not correct to hate people just because they live in a certain country or they look a certain way. And the same thing can be applied to the question of, is it the problem with the person or problem with the gun?
Right.
You know, you hate guns because they kill people, but the gun doesn't kill people. It's the people who use the guns.
Exactly.
And so how do we get up? What has to happen before we can really see this and try and begin to solve the problem?
This is one of the most important issues right now that people are facing in this country. I think it's a great topic, Eileen. I want to thank you so very much. And the best of luck in this book. Boy, it can really, if it can influence just a couple of people, you know, to start listening to other people in this whole issue, stop talking past each other.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you,
just
Eileen.
Listen. Communicate. That's the key.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
We are going to take our break. And when we come back, we will be talking about the debate, the presidential debate, with the guy who has his finger on the pulse of the guy in the street, Andrew, the master barber.
Each time we have a quarrel, it almost breaks my heart, 'cause I'm so afraid that we will have to part.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on The Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? Tune in to the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. That's 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM. Right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. We cover it all when it comes to deed-restricted communities. We have the answers to all of your questions and more on the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life's struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Thank you so very much for joining us on Friday the 13th on Freedom Works. And I want to remind you that our program is sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barbershop. Or I should say Andrew's Master Barbershop. And by the way, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, you got to visit his place in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin, just north of Route 580. I guess it's called Main Street there, but it's Route 580 on Overcash Drive. You will get a wonderful haircut at a great price, and you'll have fun because they're just delightful people to be with. And Andrew is with us, as he is every Friday. And Andrew, did you watch any of that Democratic presidential debate last night?
Paul, I believe I watched about 12 minutes of it.
Really?
On and off. Oh, let me tell you what, man. Not one of them. First of all, do people notice there's not even an American flag on their stage?
That's a good point. I did not realize that.
Not one of their debates have had an American flag on their stage, okay? Number one. Number two, they have no platform. All they're talking about is free, 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 free. They got one guy who wants to give away 10,000, 12 people, $10,000 apiece.
I mean, you talk about just sucking up to people.
Oh, my God. And you know what? Kamala Harris said, I can guarantee you President Trump is watching this debate. Well, she was wrong, because President Trump was on C-SPAN live at a Republican meeting.
He had mentioned that he couldn't watch it live. Yeah.
I was watching President Trump. Okay.
All right. Good for you.
But let me tell you something. You know, these people that like these Democrats and they hate Trump, it amazes me. I had a customer in my shop yesterday, and he comes in and he's always smiling. This guy, he seems like a nice guy. And he had said something to me that, you know, he doesn't like Trump. So I says, you know, let me ask you one question. What is it you don't like about him? And you know what you get? They have no answer whatsoever. He could not give me one reason why he doesn't like Donald Trump. And you know what? You can ask any one of these people to give you, what has he done wrong? They can't give you an answer.
No. When it comes down to what he does as the president, I don't think they ever come up with a good answer.
They don't have any.
But they might not like his personality. It seems to me a lot of it has to do with they think he's a little bit too egocentric, et cetera.
I think when it comes down to a lot of the people are really just jealous of a successful man.
I think there is some truth to that.
Or should I just say, be politically correct and say a successful person? Because
yes.
I don't want to offend anybody.
No, you don't.
Okay, now look at this. They got the Ms. Monopoly game out. Did you see that one the other day?
Well, they have also one called Socialist Monopoly. Did you know that?
Unbelievable.
Did you know
see that one?
No, I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. They have Socialist Monopoly, and the object is to lose all of your money.
Yep.
Really?
And you know, Paul,
the first
Paul,
one to lose all their money wins the game.
When you go around the board on the Ms. Monopoly, every time they pass go, the women get $240 and the man gets $200.
Oh, yes, I did hear about that.
You know, I don't like that. I don't like that. They're discriminating against me.
They are discriminating against you. You just have to go around.
That's not politically correct.
Well, the trick is you got to go around the board twice as fast as the ladies do.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, well, how you fix that when you get up, you accidentally bump the board, knock all the pieces off.
it
amazes me. Now they're going after the kids with vaping. Now, I don't know if you've watched Bernie Sanders before, but he believes that abortion is a way to control population.
He did bring that up at one time.
Yeah, that's a good way to avoid population growth. Well, you know, why are you worried about people smoking and vaping if you're trying to control the population?
Very good point. By the way, another, and this guy's normally in the corner of the Democrats, Joe Scarborough on MSNBC.
Oh, my God. Well, gave me heartburn.
I'm sorry about that. I know. Sit down for a quick moment, because I want to tell you, he was fed up this morning over the Democratic debate. He said they spent too much time quibbling over minor health care policy differences. He said he was astounded to see the candidates for a large part of the hour pounding on these technocratic niceties, he called, related to health care plans while ignoring the big picture. Basically, he says that Medicare will never pass, And he sees the Democrats tearing themselves from limb to limb. He calls it insanity. He said, Medicare for all to the American people is a waste of time because it will never pass in Congress after the election. I tend to agree with him on that point.
You know, Paul, yesterday, did you ever see the polls they have? Donald Trump, every Democrat is beating Donald Trump. The women don't want Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
But yesterday, I got the real polls. I went on the Las Vegas line.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump at this point has an 88.8% chance of being reelected.
Really?
That's right.
88.8%?
Now, that's the best poll, 88.8% of winning the reelection.
That's the betting line. Is that what
That's the Las Vegas betting line.
Wow.
Okay, and the
that's
next
better
one
than
was,
that New England Patriots winning the Super Bowl again.
That's right. And then they had Joe Biden in second at 34% chance. Elizabeth Warren, 17% chance, okay, and down the line.
Wow.
So that is the most accurate poll you're going to find, believe me, because they have got CPAs, they got everybody checking out the stats on this stuff before they put their money out to gamble.
That's literally putting your money where your mouth is, and that's what really counts, right?
Oh, and listen to this one. This one is really great. You know, the other barber I got in here, Gary, but he works at his daughter's shop over in Tampa on Wednesdays. And I guess he's got this one super liberal customer. And you know me, I always like to bet on the election.
Yes.
Well, this one guy was such a liberal and had me going that I said, listen, put your money where your mouth is. Let's put a $2,500 bet on it.
Oh.
And I bet $2,500 that Donald Trump will win this election. Oh, I'll match that. We can do it. Okay. Yeah. Then he goes, well, here's the set of rules. We can't go by the electoral vote. We got to go by the popular vote.
Oh.
I said, you are a typical liberal moron. I said,
oh, no.
I said, listen, it's very simple. Trump wins or your person wins. Forget about this because the electoral college ain't going anywhere, buddy.
Very, you know? Very interesting. So he didn't bet you, I take it.
Well, I'm not playing with his rules. It's win or lose, period.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They always got excuses, Paul, for everything.
Well, like you said, when you challenged the guy in the chair that you were cutting his hair to tell you what Donald Trump was not doing right or why he didn't like Donald Trump, he didn't seem to have an answer. And people stumble around when they do that. But I do think, you know, let's be honest, you know, he offends some people with his demeanor, right?
He doesn't offend me.
But doesn't he
offend? I think he offends very insecure people, Paul.
Okay.
Maybe that. He's very insecure. And you know what? I believe 40%, 47% of these people that are liberals are very insecure. Look at the people. Watch them.
They're also hypocrites.
Definitely. Yeah, there's no question about
that's Big
that.
That's Big Ed's comment there, that they're all hypocrites.
That's all right.
I think there is some truth to that they are insecure people. I've always thought that, you know, and we've talked about this before, who would you rather have doing your surgery? A great surgeon that has a horrible personality or a real nice guy that's just doing about his second surgery? I think we'll take the guy with the bad personality, right?
I would, but I don't know about a liberal. But well, I can guarantee you the liberal probably would too when it comes down to it.
Well, maybe that'll be a way to eliminate a lot of liberals now that I think about it.
Well, again, that'll handle the population, won't
yes, it will.
Okay?
Yeah.
I don't understand why. Beto O'Rourke, I guarantee you I'm going to come and take away your AK-47s and your AR-15s. A definite way to lose.
Now, O'Rourke wants to actually go house to house.
Oh, yeah. Well, he won't live too long.
And they call it a buyback. They're going to purchase your gun. Not a buyback. The government never owned your gun in the first place.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
It's a confiscation.
Hey, I got a question for you, Paul. When is Andrew McCabe going to commit suicide?
Well, you know, it's interesting that...
when is he going to commit suicide? I'm curious.
No, it's very interesting because I was going to ask you about this. The U.S. attorney has recommended moving forward with charges against McCabe. Now, McCabe is the former deputy and acting director of the FBI. And I think he was playing both sides against the middle for a while. Regarding Hillary Clinton.
Benefit him, sure.
Yes, indeed. and it looks like he is going to be charged.
Well, Paul, let me tell you, this will be the start of all of it, if he lives. Now, there could be some people that commit suicide that were involved with him that had information against him. You know what I'm saying? But remember me telling you, when this all starts, it's going to start with the bottom row of people, Andrew McCabe, Peter Schott there, his girlfriend, yep. Lisa Page. It's going to start with the lower echelons that were involved with this. Mm-hmm. Once they indict McCabe, he's going to start singing like a canary, if he lives. Okay.
If he lives, you think someone's going to knock him off?
Hey, they knocked off Epstein, didn't they?
Well, I just was going to say, is it going to be the same kind of a deal where you think somebody's going to...
No, he's going to commit suicide and shoot himself in the back of the head two times or something.
Goodness.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay.
There's a possibility this is going to get, as Alice in Wonderland would say, curiouser and curiouser as we go along. But you know how the mainstream media will not... Until they got the guy perp walking down the hall, you know, they probably aren't going to say too much about it.
Yeah, but now, see, once he gets indicted, he starts talking. You're going to see that first row of people go down.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to see, as time goes on a little bit, the next row of people. You're going to see James Comey, Loretta Lynch, Susan Rice, John Brennan, and James Clapper will be the next row.
I want to see Hillary.
Possibly Bill Clinton.
Well, I want to see Hillary in stripes because a striped pantsuit. I guess I can just I can kind of visualize that one. She'd be hard to miss, you know, perp walking along with jail stripes on.
But you know, this is all going to go down. People say, well, you know, who's going to get off? The reason James Comey, I believe, didn't get indicted in anything yet is because there's a lot bigger things coming.
Well, that's what a lot of people are saying. That they're waiting.
It's going to happen, and it's going to happen before the election. You know, if he came down on them all now, by the time the election came around, the American people would forget all of this. This is why it's got to be done in stages.
So this is the crumbling is starting with this Andrew McCabe, do you think?
That's it, buddy. They're throwing the ball down the alley.
Wow.
And they're going to see how many pins they're going to hit.
Andrew, it is always a pleasure to talk with you because you've got so much to say. And I'm looking forward to talking with you again next week. We always have Andrew on Wednesdays and Fridays, and it's always a delight. Thank you so very much, my friend.
You got it, Paul. Be good.
All right. There he goes. Andrew the Master Barber. All right. We are going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to tell you the states that get the least robocalls.
Each time we have a quarrel, it almost breaks my heart.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
The Brian Cash Claus Radio Show. More business for your business every Thursday at 2. 106.1 FM, 1340 AM. Local business owners, listen up. We direct more customers through your doors with a printed coupon book and radio show. More business for your business. Call 727-600-4889. That's 727-600-4889.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Hi there, I'm Dr. John.
And I'm Dr. Lisa.
Do you have medical questions you never get to ask?
Now you can ask us.
After many years of caring for children and families, we've learned that the best informed families are also the healthiest.
Are you saying knowledge is power, Dr. John?
I am, Dr. Lisa, and since you're the smart one, I hope you'll share some knowledge with me and our listeners.
Let's do this then.
Okay, we hope you'll join us every Monday at noon right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network for the Drs. John and Lisa Show.
Listen online at tantalk1340.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back for the final portion of Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Thank you so very much for joining us on this Friday the 13th. And those of you that are superstitious, please do not walk under a ladder. I wouldn't walk under a ladder even if it wasn't Friday the 13th for fear something would hit me on the head. But be very careful out there today. I want to talk a little bit before we go to our top 10. We have a great top 10, by the way. It's going to be the top 10 states that get the least robocalls. You know, those annoying phone calls that you get. So stay tuned for that. But Ed, I want to get your opinion on something here. There is a new survey out. Good news for pets, not so good news for kids. According to the survey, a significant number of people favor their little dogs or cats or goldfish or canaries or whatever they have over their own kids. Mm. Over their own kids. 33, let's see, what was the percentage here? Based on the results, about half of the respondents said their pets seem to understand them better than their best friend or significant other. They polled 2,000 pet owners. Reportedly, by the way, conducted on behalf of the pet food company I and Love and You. So maybe it's a little bit biased. But according to the results, 78% of pet owners consider their animal to be a part of the family, while 68% consider them to be people. They actually think they're human.
Well, pets don't talk back, for one thing.
Right. That's true.
You know, they make a mess here and there, but, you know, it depends on the pet. I mean, I've got two very obedient dogs. I mean, they barely get in any trouble, but, you know, there are dogs out there when they're young. Of course, you got to break their spirit, but kids the same way, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think some of those people just take that survey with tongue in cheek.
Oh, of course they do. But close to a third of the pet owners prefer their pets over their kids. That's pretty high.
Yeah.
That's pretty high if you think about it. But I've always said this, seriously, I think more tears are shed over the loss of a pet than the loss of a human.
Especially, you know, when they're really sick and,
right,
you know, the vet comes out and tells you it's going to be a lot of money and you're like, I'm going to pay it. I don't care, you know, to fix whatever's wrong. But, you know, when you get to that point where they got to go, that's miserable. I've been through that too many times.
I have too.
Oh, boy.
I have too. And I agree with that thought that they are family members. I mean, it's not a matter of we treat them like they are family mm-hmm. members. They're very close to you. Anyway, very interesting poll. And finally, I think it is time. Oh, I wanted to ask you very, very briefly, Ed. You were watching and we could talk about these different teams. But last night, the Bucks won that game against the Carolina Panthers in Carolina. Very close game. I forget the exact score.
17-12.
17-12? Yeah. Okay. And in fact, I think
it was 20-12.
Well, Carolina ended up with a fourth and a goal, and they just barely, the Bucks were able to keep them out of the end zone.
I was very pleasantly surprised at the defense. The offense still looks bad, but the defense had shades of the old days.
The defense looks good.
Yeah.
Very good. Wow. And I always think that a good team starts with a good defense.
And did you see they got under our former player, Gerald McCoy, got under his skin?
Yes.
And created a personal foul, which gave the Bucks a 15-yard first down.
What do you think about Jameis Winston's performance?
Incredibly average and maybe sometimes below. Last night was an average performance. If he could just stay average.
With their defense.
With their defense, and they can build a running game and just not make the mistakes. No mistakes last night. No turnovers.
That's right.
You know?
That's
if they can do that,
key.
They can win 8 or 9 games and keep building. But I just kept waiting for the shoe to drop. I honestly was going back for the Rays, Bucks. Rays wound up losing last night.
Did they?
Yeah. But
we got to root for them to get into the playoffs, don't we?
Yeah. I just, you know, right now I don't understand this whole thing. They've got a lot of guys from AAA down that they're allowed to use. I don't want all these young guys in there when we're trying to win games. I don't want to see what they are for next year.
I want my guys in
there that got them to 90 wins, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I want those guys in there.
Well, of course, and the Rays are aware of that. They want to win. No question about it. All right. It is time for our top 10. This is a follow-up to what we did on Monday, Ed, when we had the top 10 states most likely where you would get a robocall. These are the least likely states to get a robocall, and we're going to ask Ed if he can figure out what is number one. So here we go. Without further ado, number 10, Kentucky. Kentucky, they don't call you too much, the bluegrass state. Now, that's, to me, that's not too surprising. But anyway, number 9, Oklahoma. Now, I don't know why in Oklahoma. I have no idea. Is it because there's a lot of oil there and maybe they think there's too many wealthy people and they don't need to bother with them? I don't know. Number 8, we're going to stay in the Midwest, Iowa. Well, the farmers are all outside planting their corn and stuff like that, so I can see where they wouldn't be taking the call.
I think there's a lot of money in the Midwest, is there?
Yeah.
Is there a lot of money in the Midwest?
Well, it depends on where you're going in the Midwest. There is some.
Well, I know there's some, but all the big shots live on the East and West Coast.
They do.
You know.
And we got some in Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 7. Kind of like Oklahoma, Louisiana, you know, a lot of oil and stuff like that. Maybe they're more cautious on the phone. Number 6, Missouri. We're kind of hovering around in that central area of the country, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number 5, South Dakota. Number 4,
North Dakota.
It is. It is. You know, there aren't too many people, let's be honest, in those two states.
Yeah, those two states
always. They don't waste time, you know. They don't go get the phone
those
book.
Those two states always stick together.
They do, don't they? Number 3. Indiana. I mean, it's all Midwest right now.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana, another corn state like Iowa. Number 2. This is, well, no, it's not the first southern state. We had Louisiana. But Mississippi.
Still now, in that same area.
But Mississippi is not considered a wealthy state. In fact, it tends to be like the 50th when it comes to...
No North Carolina, South Carolina?
But, you know, Mississippi is a poor state. That's what I'm saying. They're just not going to bother with it.
All right,
here you go, Ed. What do you think is the number one state where you're least likely to get a robocall?
Let's see. I'm going to say... Georgia.
Georgia on my mind?
Yeah.
You're absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
Alaska. Now think about it.
Well, yeah.
There are only 4 people in Alaska. You're not going to call there. I mean, it's just to me, it would be very understandable. Anyway, that's the way it goes. And we want to thank you all for joining us on this Friday, Freedom Works. We will be back on Monday. Remember, go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. Big Ed sets up our podcast. You can listen to any of our past shows and find out more about the program and upcoming guests. OurFreedomWorks.com. Have a wonderful weekend. Back on Friday. Remember that freedom works.
So afraid that we will have to part. Each night I